Welcome to the PRISM Education Center podcast. PRISM Education Center is a K-12 school committed to building principled leaders through sound values, solid culture, and strong community. PRISM Education Center is a Northgate school, and this is our podcast.
All right. Good evening. It is Tuesday.
April 7th.
Our whole world is rocked and now we can't even give the dates. But yesterday, Governor Asa Hutchinson announced that we would be virtual schooling as a state for the duration of this school year. And we experience that with all the disappointment that teachers all over have experienced that news. It is sad for mm-hmm. teachers. And this morning I got a call and someone was talking to me and asking some questions about how we were handling the children with special needs. PRISM has a small school. We have a pretty, reasonable percentage of students who have special needs. Yeah. And those special needs range from, speech impairments all the way to, we have a couple of students with Down syndrome. And being a small school, you're able to be a little bit more agile yeah. when it comes to shifting some of your things around. And we know that teachers all over are trying to figure out how do we support our students. And even at PRISM, there was like this initial schedule that was released that supported, 90% of the students.
Right.
But it took some tweaking to help those students who have special needs. And we realized like basically immediately that the students who had special needs were going to need a little extra support as they do during a yes. typical school day.
Right.
And so someone called me this morning to ask what we were doing. And I know a couple of our teachers, people have talked to them about some things. And so we just thought the easiest way for us to get information out is to just get on this podcast. We've got it. We were meeting for something else. And so this is a special edition podcast for teachers specifically. So if you are a part of PRISM's digital programming, and anyone is welcome to this particular part, every morning we have this morning meeting at 8 a.m. And anyone from the school and actually from multiple other schools have joined us on Facebook Live at 8 a.m. for a school-wide morning meeting. And we let chickens out of, it's a pretty simple low-tech production where we get on Facebook Live and as part of our routine, we let my chickens out of their coop every morning. And when we do, we sing a fun song. Which I believe came from...
All the kids sing along.
They do. They love it.
I think it came from Andy Griffith.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I've been trying to think because that song, there's like a horn song. It came from Andy Griffith. And it might also be like a presidential march. Anyway.
Definitely now a new PRISM theme song.
We're definitely... And so we also just use the air trumpet a lot in those morning meetings because we're trying to... make really simple things grandiose. And one of the things that we sometimes say is burr, burr, burr. And so if you hear air trumpets, just know we're not crazy. We're just we're just trying to keep things moving.
Keeping things joyful, yeah.
So I've got Lindsay Nichols here. She's the Director of Educational Excellence at PRISM Education Center. I've got Brittany Rose here. She's a mentor teacher for all of our elementary teachers, and she is also a lead teacher inside of an elementary classroom. I've reached out to Shanley as well to just hear what she's doing with her students, and she wasn't able to be here yet, and so are joining us today. And so so we've got all these people here. Lindsay, when people start to work with kids with special needs and they're trying to do this virtually, what are some of your suggestions?
Well, I would say numero uno, I think most important is to recognize that, and I think this would be obvious to anyone who's worked with kids with special needs, is that none of them are going to fit in the same size box.
Yep.
And that no one of them is going to have the same schedule necessarily or have the same needs, need the same modifications. And obviously in this whole virtual world, even that word modifications is like everyone is getting a modification right now. Like this is, in the education world, this is like groundbreaking. 100% of American students are receiving modifications.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
That would be number one, is realizing that those kids need their systems to be flexible enough that they can have their needs met. I think recognizing the load that's on the parents of kids with special needs, mm-hmm. that each one of them has a different burden to carry. whether they have multiple kids, whether they're, maybe they've never even worked with their students academically before,
right, yeah.
and they aren't really privy to understand just how much support their kids need. So I'd say the second thing that's most important in my mind is communicating with parents.
Yeah.
So I know for us as a school, like Misty said, in the beginning, we didn't even try. When we weren't really sure what was happening or how long this would last, we just put everyone in one schedule to start.
And this was like right before spring break.
Yeah, this was like this, way early.
Yeah, we had 4 days before spring mm-hmm. break. One day the schools were open and the next day they were closed.
Yeah.
And so in that 4 day period, we just put everybody in a box.
Yeah. Let's just see how this works to go online. Like, let's just test the initial systems.
And 1 hour in.
Yeah. In 1 hour in, we realized, well, some of these kids are going to need different systems. So immediately we really kind of moved our communication to parents and talking mm-hmm. with parents about what works best for you.
Yeah.
What is the best form of communication? Putting our instructional assistants and our therapist in direct communication with parents. So we've kind of removed the middleman in this situation at our school. Usually they would communicate, parents would only communicate with me, and then I would coordinate all of those schedules. And it's been really important for therapists and instructional assistants to talk with parents about what's working for them, because the parents are the ones that are there. They see their kid on the other side of the screen yeah. and can say, this is not working, or they're right. loving this, or right. this is not a great time for my kids, turns out. This isn't working for our family. And so their needs, instructional assistants, therapists, even teachers in the classroom, they need the flexibility to be able to communicate with parents mm-hmm. and make changes according to yeah. what works. I think that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Is just teachers being able to make changes and communicating with parents about what parents need and doing their best to meet those yeah. parents where they're at, because it's hard.
It is hard. And over spring break, so we had those first 4 days of virtual mm-hmm. schooling. We realized quickly this isn't working for everyone. And I mean, Lindsay spent so much of her spring break, and even before that, I mean, she started mm-hmm. on it before spring break, but just building out, working with every parent, mm-hmm. building out individual schedules. And for our school, that's not a small number of kids. And so that all fell on her, because we don't have
it's just a big part of my job.
It was yeah. just a big part of her job. And there were a lot of moving parts, and it took someone who could coordinate all that.
Yeah. It takes a dedicated person looking at yeah. all of the schedules. And like I said, flexibility. When someone yeah. calls and says, hey, I'm sorry, this time doesn't work, being willing to just do it all again and yep. mm-hmm. rearrange. And honestly, it takes all of our parents being flexible
yes.
too.
Yes.
Because when one person needs to make a change, all the other parents need to say, hey, we
yeah.
want to help the families in this community. And so that's fine. We'll change it. We'll do something yeah. new. We had to add passwords to all of our Zoom accounts recently, which we weren't going to do for any of our families who had special needs situations, because like, who needs one more 6-digit yes. number to memorize in this season? Especially when some of these kids have like 6 different individuals right. working with them throughout right. the week. Parents were so flexible. Like yeah. there was no, I mean, we have the best parents though.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, they were really flexible. But I think what parents saw was that the teachers were willing to work with them.
True.
So I want to give some like real practical examples. We have students who need therapeutic services.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those services have been approved through telehealth and through programs like that. And so that was yep. that was thing one. And that's probably the least flexible portion of our schedule was the therapist schedules. And so that was like building block one.
Yeah, start with them.
Let's start with the therapist and see how we can build those things in. Because, you know, some of our therapists are exclusive to PRISM. Some of them work in multiple different schools and different, and that's just tough to coordinate all those schedules. So we started with the therapist. There were some group time activities that everyone should be a part of, you know? So yeah. like we have that morning meeting at 8 a.m. every day. Each class has their own social hour. And so the kids join in there. And of course, you know, we've had to work really hard to build a culture at our school where kids with special needs are already integrated into social hours yes. and into things like that. So that wasn't new for our kids.
Mm-hmm. Or new for our therapist to say you can't work during that hour.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you start with the things that everyone's doing, then you start with the therapist. And so we had social hour. We have a 30-minute assembly where we all join together every day. And our kids with special needs have been, and other kids as well, everyone's just been really faithful to show up for that meeting in the morning on Facebook Live. And to comment and we call them out and all that. We have some kids who are nonverbal, and even if they're part of a social time, it's really hard to integrate with them. And so we actually, with some of our students, started, we feel like the social aspect of school is actually so important. And that's what we heard back from parents initially, is that their kids were missing that specific time. And so one of the big things we did was we assigned even other students mm-hmm. to have a schedule where they call in. Some of our students do work projects, like they have a career track. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing career types of things. One of our students works in our kitchen. Actually, a couple of them do, as part of their career prep at our school. And I got pictures from their parents of them like doing the same jobs, washing dishes at their home. Their parents took that thing that they're used to doing at school. They do the dishes after lunch, and they made that a family chore. And the kids owned it. Like, they were super, super excited yeah. to do that. As part of that, they work with an aide, and they work with a cook at the school. And so the aide and the cook make calls in. And that's good for everybody. That's yes. good for the cook who's not getting all the hours or all the time with kids. That's good for the assistants, for the aides, for the people who oversee those things. And several other teachers just took that on themselves. And we kind of saw, as parents were posting this stuff on Facebook and things like that, that other kids started to take initiative yeah. to do that mm-hmm. as well. And so that's the social aspect. We feel like it's a really important. Mm-hmm. And then those teachers who work with those students one-to-one, we just transferred those hours over. And it's, you know, they're working one-on-one with kids. So, yep. Lindsay, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, really, all of our instructional aides and assistants are still seeing their kids. I mean, they're just seeing them virtually. And obviously, they've had to make adjustments to how they do that for each kid and their ability yeah. to interface with online. But to be honest, there are so many great resources.
Yes.
Zoom is just one of them, but there are so many portals for people to interact yeah. with different students in different ways. Our therapists have found so many amazing resources yep. and ways for kids to enter, even our nonverbal students, to yes. be able to take control of their screens and select letters. And I mean, there are ways.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
just takes, it takes some discovery. It takes yeah. teachers and aides who are willing to really go figure out
yep.
what works. And so yeah. they're still meeting with them every, yep. I mean, they do 30-minute blocks
yep.
all throughout the day. For some of our kiddos who need more than 30 minutes, we schedule them more than once a day,
right.
but not consecutive time. So they've yeah. got breaks, they can go and do whatever they want and then come back in the afternoon and do another yep. session with their instructional assistant to do yes. something different.
And I'll speak to that as well, because I have kiddos in my classroom that I notice are doing that, and they're thriving inside of that place.
Yeah.
I feel like they're rising to the challenge. You know, when it's put on them, they can do it. And I do keep in communication with my parents of yeah. kids that are in that situation. And I make sure to communicate, like with Lindsay, if we need to switch something, or parents communicate. But I've been so pleased to see how much they're thriving
right.
mm-hmm. inside of a situation that would have seemed like maybe they wouldn't be as successful as other kids. I feel like they've risen
yeah.
to the top.
Yeah. I think the same thing. I want to kind of summarize good ideas, one-to-one, good ideas, integrate the students in the whole group activities that you're mm-hmm. doing as a school.
Anything that they were doing before, yeah, integrate yes. them into the whole group.
Yeah. And let's say that your student is not doing things. There's not school-wide activities, because I know that would be true for, I think, maybe even the majority of schools. If they're not, integrate them into other social activities. You can join our assembly in the morning.
Come on.
We just need we just need you to say who you are, so we call their name out.
And that you're nice and friendly.
And be nice and friendly. So you might say, I am so-and-so, like I'm Billy.
I heard your podcast and I'm joining in.
Yeah. Or you could just put in the comments, I'm Billy from such and such school. And that helps us know you're a child.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Very
and helpful. So our parents are the ones that are logging in with their Facebook IDs, and then they're putting that information. So if you don't, just go to Prism Education Center, 8 to 8:30. We'll integrate them into ours. That's one of the things with this whole thing yeah. that has been really helpful, is that there's been like a real level of equalization.
Yeah, like expanding the community.
Yeah, the community
our
has
community's
expanded.
Gotten a
yeah.
lot wider than
yes.
just our own boundaries.
Yes, and we'll call their name and we'll wave at them just like we do all of the other kids. So that's thing one, integrate them into whole group activities. Thing two, create social opportunities, whether you have to do that or your teacher does, but just say, hey, Miss Teacher, can we do FaceTime together, or and teachers, it doesn't. You don't have to learn Zoom. You can just
pick up the phone. Our elementary FaceTime. School teachers are not using Zoom for one-on-one calls.
Yeah.
They just call the parent's cell phone and say, "Can I talk to so and so?"
Yes,
and they go over their work.
If
they do
the
all
cell phone
things.
Has WhatsApp, they or it has FaceTime, then they do it face to face. But a lot of times they're just using just straight calling, like old-fashioned calling. So thing one. Integrate into group times. Thing two, set up social times for the kids and use other people. You can have a schedule so it doesn't fall on the same person every day, but just set up a schedule. Use the cooks in your school. They are missing children right now.
Yes.
Their life, so much of the joy and the noise in their life has been removed, just like it has for you all. So as a principal, I've called students. I know teachers have called students. That's what I heard from Ms. Shanley. She's calling kids that come into her class and kids that don't come into her class. And so that's been a real common thing. Thing three, for the academics, set up some one-to-one times and therapy sessions. You can still do therapy. So set up those one-to-one times. Bad ideas. Set up 9 hours of Zoom calls.
Yeah.
We had that actually happen. Not necessarily 9 hours, but...
But like too many... Don't set up too many one-on-one sessions in one day.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming for parents and kids.
The intensity level of one-to-one meetings is much higher than a whole group meeting. And it puts the focus
There's no ability to check out in a one-to-one meeting.
No.
You're constantly engaged and working.
And I think people just need to acknowledge that is difficult for kids. That's difficult for me as an adult. I put this in one of our other podcasts. I can't remember if it went live or not, but when I opened up Zoom some days, I'm just like, I don't even want to interact with this thing anymore. I always love the meeting that happens afterwards, but you know, as adults, we're struggling with that. Well, that's just as hard for kids. And so limit how much of that online stuff. Get them outside.
Yes.
Get them moving.
Outside.
A lot of these kids have outdoor time at their schools. And so when that is taken away, you're going to see a real drop in morale. And so get them outside. Get them a routine that is, I use meals. As the part of our routine, we wake up, we eat breakfast. After breakfast, we do this. So I know like at our home, we do the morning meeting. After the morning meeting, we eat breakfast. And then our next kind of routine thing is for lunch. And then our next routine thing is afternoon snacks. After all of our work is done, our next thing is evening meals.
Yeah.
Those meal times provide a set of structure that all kids, but especially kids with special needs, really thrive off of that. And educators can help parents set up those schedules.
Yep.
I think it's really, sometimes parents don't, you know, they're not professionals. They're not professional. They are parents and they're good at what they do as parents, but they're not necessarily professional educators. And so it is beneficial if you are an educator to just give those suggestions to your families.
Yes.
This kind of podcast is a little bit of a hybrid of four parents and four teachers.
Yeah, it's for both.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those two people are kind of merged now into one. The parents are the teachers.
Yes.
And so the only other thing I was going to add as you guys were talking, I think a group that gets overlooked a lot inside of the special needs community and even teachers right now are probably thinking, what about those kids who actually are in all of their classes, but I know are not getting anything?
They're not
understanding what's going on. They're lost with their schedule. I've seen a lot of kids with language disorders really struggle to connect virtually. Like they just feel kind of lost. They just can't really figure it out. I think it's really important right now that parents, any instructional assistants, that we're not just focusing on making sure those kids are learning, you know, their letters and their ABCs and learning those math skills. We can catch some of that stuff up for these kiddos. These kids really need support right now to just get order around their life.
Yeah,
we have a lot of really kids who just can't. They're in all the classes, but they cannot keep up with like, what is the homework? What's going on? Where do I send this? So one of our instructional assistants is almost 80% of her time is dedicated to just helping students who are in the class 90% of the time, but need like a little bit of support every day just to get their life together and figure out what
organizational skills,
what is going on,
skills.
Giving tips for how they engage in class. And I think that's something even parents can do as your wife. If you know you have a struggling learner, maybe they're highly verbal, they're able to participate in class, but you know they still struggle.
Yeah.
Watch, sit in on a couple of their classes and give them tips for, hey, you had a question and you weren't sure how to ask it. Let me show you how to do that. Because I think a lot of our kids could get lost in the shuffle in that way, that they're used to coping in class and watching their peers and they don't have any peers to watch. anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they need their parents to step in and watch and give them feedback.
And I have noticed in my classroom parents that have done that for the first week or so of doing that, the kids are starting to now become a little more independent and they're able to contribute more so now than they could at the beginning when they had just a little bit of that help every day to know how to structure and order things.
Yeah.
And I think general ed teachers who have kids with special needs in their class need to remember our need for visual information has not gone away.
Yes.
Just because
it can't be all verbal.
You see these beautiful, wonderful things happening right now in the education community, stuff that just makes your eyes water, where see all the kids come online and have these connections virtually. Well, this is going on and on. Mm-hmm. And that's going to get old.
It's like the never-ending story.
Yes.
It's like it's fun the first couple of weeks, but that is we're seeing just the enthusiasm for getting up and joining virtually. It's going to go away. Yeah, it's going down right now. Yeah. And this recent announcement that this is the new normal for the rest of the school year has not helped that. So I really want to encourage teachers virtual or visual cues and things like we have a virtual program and we have to actually hold up color-coded cards where we've taught kids and then this was Lisa Baird's idea and it's just a really great thing.
Such a great.
If you have a problem, here's four colors in your pack, when you send out home packets, put different colors. If you're having technology problems, hold up a color-coded card.
If you're totally confused.
Yes. And then teachers, you can also have your own set of visual cues. Like we have a joke and I teach older kids, but we have a sourdough starter. And we've given her a name as a class because she's a living...
LaFonda.
LaFonda is her name. And she's in a mason jar. And it's literally the bacteria and all the good stuff you need for a sourdough starter. And at the end of each section, I pick up LaFonda, I hold her up, and I look at her and I say, LaFonda, let me summarize for you all the things that we just talked about. And we just convert everything to list. And I'll say, LaFonda, do you have any questions? The kids have totally made memes about it. And, I consider that a sign of
love. The teacher went crazy. I think that's what they said.
They said, this is my teacher on day 15 of quarantine.
Talking to her sourdough starter. Yeah, there's a lot of ideas. We could almost probably do a whole podcast on ideas for just how do you keep virtual school connections and interesting and vision. Yeah, I think there's a lot. And we're learning a lot as we go.
We are
learning
so much.
Yeah, we are.
We are in the fast lane, baby. We are.
So true. Chasing a runaway train right now.
Yeah, and everyone is. And so what we're hoping to do with this is give some ideas. Don't go try to implement them all at once. Yes. We've had a virtual school all year long. We've had... we started immediately trying to resolve some of these issues for kids with special needs. And every week we've added some improvements to it.
Yep.
What you should do is say, what's one thing I can do? And if that one thing right now is a one-to-one call with that child, to me, that would be the best place to start. Like just get on the phone with them.
Yeah, one thing.
Send one thing. Don't overwhelm yourself. What is the one thing you can do? I think everybody is trying to figure out how to navigate this. And these kids offer up some exceptional challenges to do that. But there's also, we've seen some really good opportunities. What I want teachers to hear is you can do this.
You can do this.
Yes, you can.
We have kids that range from nonverbal to just really mild learning disabilities. You can do this. And so you've just got to do something.
Yep.
So just pick one thing this week and try to implement one thing, whether that's giving them a phone call every day or setting up a schedule for other people to call them or setting up math this week. Just do that then.
Yep.
If that's what you can do, hey, I don't think you can do a whole lot. I don't think there's a lot. You can't add 47 things. So just what is one thing? And then next week, figure out another thing. Improve it all week long. And gradually, you'll get to a place where you really are providing just good programs. And even if academically, the kids don't get from point A to point B where we wanted them to get by the end of the year, what you're communicating to that person, to that child, is that they are loved, they are cared for, you're communicating to their parents, they're not forgotten. And that's so important. So important right now that we just reach out and have those touch points with our kids. And so if all you can do is get on a phone call or say, hey, I'm going on Facebook Live. Why don't you go on Facebook Live? Let's do that together.
Yep.
Then that is what you can do. And that is great. That communicates a lot to those families. And so don't, teachers everywhere, don't just ignore these kids. Make sure they're getting that connection because that's the most important thing and maybe even more so important for kids who have exceptionalities is just to know I am remembered inside yes. of this, inside of this shift. Yep.
People, you know, Misty, let me give a plug for any teachers or parents listening out there too. You might have more questions or more tips you want to get. We are going to start something new. We have a new email address at podcast@prismeducationcenter.org. Perfect. And if there are any parents or teachers out there who are thinking, I want more, I have this unanswered question,
yeah.
how do I do this in this new environment? We are going to open that up live, kind of like a Dear Sally thing in the, in
could
the,
could you actually call it Dear Sally?
Dear Sally.
Dear Sally. Here's my question.
Call us Sally. No, but so that we can hear, what are you, yeah. what are the things that people need to know? Because we want to provide a resource in this season.
Yes.
So podcast@prismeducationcenter.org. Email us so that we can know what kind of resource you guys need.
Yeah. And it, we don't have all the answers, but we do have a lot of good people doing a lot of different good things. And yeah. I bet we could find someone.
Who knows? Yes. Maybe it'll spark in us. Like, we should figure that out.
Yeah. yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some advantages, some real advantages right now to being small.
It's so true.
And so we wish you all well. We know this is a tough season for educators. This is, but we are what we always tell our teachers. We are not victims. We
right.
are, we are supports. We yes. are, we are points of strength and points of access for families. So go be a strong, strong person and a strong person of support for the families that, that are in your charge.
Yes.
Yep.
You've got
Thank
this.
You for joining us.
The end. This podcast is a production of Prism Education Center. You can subscribe to this podcast through any platform you access quality podcasts, including Apple Podcast and Spotify. Find out more about Prism Education Center by visiting our website at www.prismeducationcenter.org.